Every time I share a message, it's like, how do you start one? How do you start a sermon? I don't know. I figured it out this morning. That's when it came to me. As you know, I don't have notes. I like to read scripture, and I thought about it all week when I'm driving the track. I do mindless work. I'm in construction, you know. I'm basically a 57-year-old apprentice for my brother, you know. He tells me what to do. Pick this up. Put it down. This is what I do. Go cut. Make this cut. I make the wrong cut, and he yells at me, and I go cut it again. It's what I do. If you know my brother, it's all right. He's really good at what he does. He's been doing it since he was 14. He used to leave high school and go off and work and make money. And then, you know, that work-study thing. And he didn't study at all. He just worked. And but he really knows what he's doing. And, you know, I went to college and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I can't work in corporate anywhere. You know, I don't fit in with anybody. I don't fit in with anyone, Fran. I don't know where my place is, you know. Professional athlete, that's over with. I'll never be one of those, so. So what's my point there is, how do you start this? Because every day when I work, I'm thinking about this story. I'm thinking about the Ascension. And it's today is Ascension Sunday. Mother's Day is important, but Ascension is more important, okay? Sorry, mothers. This is big. It's so important. The Amish aren't working tomorrow. You go to the Amish places, they're closed, aren't they? They're closed on Whit Monday. Do we celebrate Whit Sunday? It's when the confirmation classes occur and everybody wears white. It's called White Sunday. They take off Epiphany Monday, don't they? And it's to be celebrated. There's a lot of religious holidays if you look in the lectionary, isn't there, Anne? There's a whole bunch. Next week's Pentecost. We don't even know. What does that mean? We're going to talk about that. This isn't a very important thing because God keeps his promises. He sets up rules. And last week we talked about rules, didn't we? And what happens when we break the rules? He keeps his promises. So let's go back to the first mother. Oh, we're going to tie it in, aren't we? We're going to go with Eve, aren't we? We're talking about Eve, right? And the snake came up to her and tempted her and said, hey, did God really say you'll die if you eat that apple? Go ahead, you can eat it. And so she ate it. She gave some to Adam and God. And then they realized they were naked. So they tried to hide from God. And he's looking for them, right? In the cool of the day, he's walking around. He's in their presence. He's like, where are you guys? And we're hiding. Why are you hiding? Did you eat that fruit? Well, the woman made me do it. And the woman says, the snake made me do it. And God makes a promise, doesn't he? He says to Eve that one of your seeds from your line will come and crush the snake forever. But the snake's going to get him. But he makes his promise. And so we go through the Old Testament and we see the story of one day someone is coming. One day someone's coming to destroy evil. When's he going to come? In the meantime, he's not here yet, right? We know he's the firstborn of creation. He's with God. We see that Jesus is in Genesis, don't we? Because what does God say when he says, let us? He refers, let's us go down and make man. Let's us go down and do this. Who is us? God's not alone, is he, in the beginning? He's always has someone there. He has the Spirit. His Spirit hovers over the earth, right? Remember before he created and separated the sea from the sky and the sky from the land. So he's always there. Jesus is always there somewhere. We see him on the battlefield of Jericho, and we see him even up at Sight and Sound. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? The fire? Daniel with the fire? He was in there, right? Three people went in there. Meshach, Shadrach, and the other guy, right? What's his name? Abednego. Good job. Now, they had those different names, didn't they? That's the Hebrew name. They have the other name. Nobody can remember those. I can't remember them. Abednego. And then the fourth person is in there. And at Sight and Sound, they made sure you knew it was Jesus in there. So we see Jesus before. And God's keeping. So God sets up rules, you know, because we still sin. And Jesus isn't here yet to forgive us of our sins. So he sets up in the book of Leviticus a way of sacrifices. If you commit a sin, there's only one thing that can cleanse your sin. And what is that? It's blood, isn't it? Only one thing can take away your sin is blood. So they set up this system, and God says in the book of Leviticus, here, I'm going to read a little bit. Don't fall asleep on me. He talks about the Day of Atonement. How are we going to be free from our sins in those days? And this is what God says. This is how it's going to happen. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron. Remember those two guys? They wanted to go and do their own thing. They wanted to go into the temple and light their own fire. And God says, you don't do that. You do it my way. They did it. What happened to them? They were struck down, weren't they? They were punished. God says, tell your brother Aaron, he is not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover of the ark, or else he'll die. Aaron believes him, doesn't he? For he will appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. This is how Aaron, he's the high priest. He's the only one that goes to the most holy place. He must first bring a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He's supposed to put on the sacred linen tunic. Priests are supposed to dress up. We're supposed to act like this. This is what I'm supposed to wear one. This is a serious business. Dr. Peterson says, you're an adult, dress like one. That's for me. These are sacred garments. Take a bath before you come to church, he says. That's the rule. Did you everyone take one today? Everyone took a shower today? I got water all over the place. She's like, look what you've done. Why was she in there? I don't know. We're married. From the Israelite communities, take two male goats for a sin offering. So there's an offering for everyone. Take the two goats, present them before the Lord. One is to be set aside. One's going to be sent out in the wilderness. He says to this, take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord. Two handfuls of freshly ground incense and take them behind the curtain. Put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover above the tablets of the covenant so that he will not die. You see what he's doing here? In the tabernacle, you had in the front of the tabernacle, you had the altar, and that's where the people would bring their offerings, and they would be slaughtered by the priest. The priest would take the good parts, the blood he would put on the altar, and then you could take the rest of it home to eat. They're not wasting these sacrifices, but the blood must be given up to God. The blood is the life of the animal. And then the priest, Aaron, and only Aaron. This church is set up like a temple, isn't it? It is a temple. This is where the people are. But you see, there is a place where not everyone goes here. There's a rail here, right? Not to keep you all out, but this is where you come. And the priest is behind here. And the holiest place is up there, right? The same thing. That's only one person's allowed to go there. And that's the high priest once a year. And he's going to sprinkle blood on the ark. And you remember the ark, right? What they carried around. What's inside the ark? Who remembers? Three things. Tablets? What else is in there? Holy Grail? It's not in there. That's 2 centuries later. He's got the staff of Aaron, right? With the almond flour on it. And a box of manna, right? That they kept from the desert. You all knew that. And the Ten Commandments are in there. And so there it is. And he's going to sprinkle a little bit of blood on it. But can he walk right in to the veil, into that sacred area? Because that's where God's presence is, right? He's going to walk into the presence of God. And how does he have to do it? In a cloud of smoke, so nobody can see him. Hang on, friend. I'm going to make a point here. All right? This is all coming together. This is God's law. This is how you do it. Not just anybody can walk in. Once a year for the atonement, for all the sins to be taken away. This is 3,000 years ago. This is the law. You do it this way or what? You're going to end up like Aaron's sons. You've got to follow the law. Does the law save us? No. But do we have to follow the law? Jesus fulfilled the law, right? God's got a promise for us. He says, one day I'm going to send the seed is going to defeat evil. So everyone's waiting. They're waiting for the Messiah, for this one to come, the anointed one, the Christ. They're waiting and waiting. God promises, follow my law, do things this way. He says, and then we read Isaiah, and it says, one day a Savior will be born, a child will be born, a son will be given. He will be born of a virgin, won't he? And we know what town he's going to be born in the town of Bethlehem, the city of David. And so we're waiting and waiting, and he finally comes. The wise men knew it was coming. They saw it in the stars, didn't they? It was all coming together. And so God promises a son will be born of a virgin in the town of Bethlehem. And it happened, right? And so he was born, just like God said he would. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, it says this man will be the suffering servant. He will be tortured. He will be mocked. Psalm 23 says he will be lifted up on a cross. Crucifixion hadn't been invented yet, but they know that he will be lifted up. They would gamble. They will cast lots for his clothes. that he would be thirsty. He would cry out, why have you forsaken me? All these things happen just like it said it would. God's keeping his promises. I'm going to make a point here. We're going to get the ascension. Not just a trivia question, not just a Jeopardy question, but a real thing. The promise of one day that God will send someone, his only son, to be born just like he said he was, where he said he was. We just didn't know when. And to who he said it would happen. They said he would be crucified. He would be betrayed by his friends. And we saw that happen. He also said he would be raised, that his son would not see decay, did he? He came out. He was resurrected. Now what? You see, we celebrated Easter pretty good. Everyone had a nice ham. And then we celebrate Christmas because Madison Avenue tells us to. But do we celebrate this ascension? Why aren't we super excited about it? We don't even know what it is. This is my fourth time preaching on it. I think I got it figured out. And I hope you know it too, to know why we should be so excited about it. We all know who Luke is, right? He wrote the book of Luke, my favorite book. And whenever I start reading from chapter 5, it means I'm panicking. So I'm not going to do that today. I'm not panicking yet. I love the book of Luke. It's the Bible for dummies. He just explains things how they are. So read the book of Luke. But there's more, right? He wrote the book of Acts too. Does anyone know that? So what he says here, he wrote this book of Acts for a friend of his. To explain to him, he says, his name is Theophilus. And he says, I'm going to write you a story. I'm going to tell you the story about Jesus so you can understand it and who he was and what he did and what he came to do. And so he says here in chapter 1 of Acts, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions to the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and he gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. Remember he ate fish with them? He let Thomas touch him. He introduced himself. He showed himself to Mary in the garden. To 500 people one time, it says there in Corinthians. He appeared to them for a period of 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, he was eating with them, and he gave them this command. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised me, which you have heard about. That's next week's sermon. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They gathered around him. They asked him, Lord, at this time are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Did you come here to free us? Are we going to be like the time of King David? Are we going to be ruling this area again? Are we going to be on top of the world? Are you going to get rid of the Romans? Are you going to get rid of the Greeks? Are you going to do these things? Jesus says, no, that's not why I came. He says, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After this, here's the weird part. He was taken up before their eyes and a cloud hid him from their sight. Can you imagine sitting around talking with Jesus? You're on the hill outside of Mount Olives is where they are. They're outside. They're talking. Hey, well, are you going to make us the kings of the world again? Are you going to get rid of the Romans? Are we going to be on top? And there he goes. There he just... This is a weird scene, isn't it? He just goes, up he goes, into the clouds. And they're sitting there with their mouths open, you know? They're looking intently up into the sky as he's just doing what he's doing. And suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. He said, men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking up into the sky? You look stupid, is what they're saying. What are you doing? The same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven. Why are you sitting around? That's a sermon for another day. But here's the thing. Can I get a drink of water? I'm wearing myself. I'm really excited about this one, Seth, Jared, one of them, Steve, because you look at this ascension, it all ties in. It all comes together. I was so excited talking with Tom Connolly yesterday, and he forgot to order my wife's medicine, so I'm a little angry with him, but she'll be all right. Jesus is talking with his disciples. He says, I need you to go make disciples of the nation. That's how Matthew ends. I need you to go out there and teach the people and change this world. I can't be here. Mary's in the garden, and Mary Magdalene comes. She wants to anoint the body with spices. And she sees the stone is rolled away. And what does she see standing there? It's from the book of John, two men in white. This is Luke, a different author. Two men in white. They come down. We know they're angels. And so they said, why are you crying? Mary, why are you crying? Because they've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they put him. She turns around. There's a man standing there. He says, Mary. She knows who it is. It's him. What does she do? She saw him crucified. She knows he was dead. She knows he's in there, but now he's alive. What does she want to do? She hugs him. She wants to hang on to him. But he says, no, Mary. I've not yet ascended to the Father. I can't stay here. We seen that. You think that's kind of harsh. He rebukes her a little bit. He's not saying don't touch me. He's not saying that. You can touch me. Thomas is going to touch him, right? He's going to prove himself real. He's going to eat a piece of fish. He's going to take everybody fishing. He's not saying don't touch me. He's saying don't cling to me. Don't cling to me. I got to go. He's keeping his promises. From the garden, he said, God says, I'm going to send somebody. One day, someone's going to come from you, Eve. You can trace them all the way back. If you look at the book of Matthew, it goes all the way from Mary all the way back to Adam and Eve, doesn't it? 120 generations plus. He says, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to have a law. The law says you need atonement for your sins. You're going to follow the rules. The priest is going to do his thing. There's a holy of holies. My presence will be with you. I will be with you in this place. And when you come before me, you got to do it this way. You got to bring blood. You got to come under cloud of cover because you can't be in my presence. Your sin is too much. You cannot be in the presence of God. You know that? You will not look at God face to face when we get there without Jesus next to you. The ascension. Okay. So now God keeps his promises. A son will be given to you, and he was born in Bethlehem. He will suffer. He will be crucified, and he will be raised again. He will not see decay. But that's not it. In a sacrificial system, it doesn't end at the altar, does it? When he goes to get crucified and the blood is poured, it doesn't end there. He's got to do what? He's got to go into the presence. This isn't, getting it? Everyone getting excited yet? Frank excited? You see, it's all coming together. We look at this Sunday. We didn't even know it was Ascension Sunday, you know? We didn't know. We're not really that aware. We knew it was Mother's Day. That's important because Hallmark told it was. It won't let us forget it. And we love our moms. You got to ascend. He's got to complete it. But that's, and I'll get to this later, but that's not all. He's got to ascend. He's got to be in the presence of God. And then he's going to come back one day. He's going to keep his promises. He's going to be born. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be raised. He's going to ascend to the Father and be with the Father. And then he's going to come back one day. Good news, huh? He's keeping his promises. Do you see that? You see what we have here? You know we got to tell the world about him? We want to keep it to ourselves. And it can't be us versus them, folks. The old church, you know what one of the commentators said? And I did a screenshot of it. God was weeding his garden. And he was pruning his vines. Remember Tom talked about the vines? What gets pruned? The dead stuff, right? Who's the dead stuff they're saying? Us. We're the dead stuff they were saying. Oh, no. I got to get over this, and I will one day. The wound is fresh. He's got to ascend. And how does he do it? He follows the law, doesn't he? He goes up in a cloud. How did Aaron go into the presence of the Lord? In a cloud. He keeps it all together. Everything he's written, all the Old Testament, every part of it's true. Jesus follows it all. He fulfills the law, doesn't he? Because we can't. What does it say in Hebrews? Let me tell you, chapter 9. This is why the first covenant was not put into effect without blood. When Moses had proclaimed every command of the law to the people, he took the blood of calves together with water, scarlet wool, and branches of hyssop, and he sprinkled the scroll and all the people. And he said, this is the blood of the covenant, the promise, which God has commanded us to keep. We can't keep it though, right? We keep breaking it. And so we need a day of atonement, don't we? And we saw what happens on that day of atonement. Blood is taken to the Holy of Holies in God's presence, covered in a cloud. Verse 22 of Hebrews, and it says, in fact, the law requires that everything be cleansed with blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Jesus came to be that sacrifice. Once and for all, it says. Once and for all, and it's done. He's the sacrifice, but he goes to the Father. He's there. He says there's not enough. The 1,000 bulls will not cover our sins. Only one, him, the one who was promised to us from the garden, came to us. He ascended into heaven. He's with the Father, and he's going to come back one day on a cloud. He's going to come back one day. Then it'll be finished. And what's he going to do when he comes back? He's going to take evil. He's going to take the devil, who's still defying God, and all his demons and all those who don't believe in him. He's going to toss them into a lake of fire. And then we'll have peace, heaven on earth. The new Jerusalem will come down. It's not over yet, is it? And who needs to know it? Everybody needs to know it. I was preaching yesterday in Martin's. It's what I do. And so I was talking to Pauline, and she's been around. She left the church because she doesn't agree with certain things. And we're talking. I said, you know, all that's such a waste of time, all that other stuff. We need to get everyone in church. She's not going to church now, and she's almost 90. And her granddaughter won't go to church because they don't like the changes. You can't change church if you're not in it. And she's given up. And she said she's going to come here soon to say hi. But we need to tell the world about Jesus. It's a hurting, broken world. Kids on our college campuses, and they're saying, "Free Palestine." Do they know what free, from the river to the sea? You know what that means? That song means? You know what that song means, from the river to the sea? It means destroy, the total destruction of Israel. That's what they want, every single last person gone. And our kids on campus are singing it. And we're paying off their student loans? Crazy. I'm not. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that your word, you kept your promise. You said you were going to do something, and you did it. You told us to do it a certain way, and you did it that way yourself. You fulfilled every bit of the law. We cannot fulfill it, and therefore we sin when we break your law. And there was an atonement. There was a punishment. But we don't take the punishment. Your son took it for us. So we don't face judgment, even though we're not righteous. No one is righteous. No, not one. But we don't take the punishment. Your son takes it. And our faith in him gets us into your presence. It gets us behind the veil. The veil is torn in two. And we don't need to sneak in through a cloud. We come in open arms right to the Father because of what the Son has done for us. And this message needs to be proclaimed to a hurting and a broken world, across campuses and across schools and in workplace and everywhere in our neighborhoods. The world needs to know that they are loved. Love so much that someone would actually die for them on their behalf so that we can live forever. The ascension, it's so important. It's a culmination. It's not the final. It's not the last chapter. That is yet to be written, and that is yet to come. When you come back, Jesus, when you come back riding in glory on a cloud, the same way you left, and you will make this world 1,000 years of peace, a new Jerusalem, a new city. Your peace and your love forever and ever to all those who accept you as Lord. You say one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. I thank you for this day. I thank you for the ascension. I thank you for the clarity that it makes sense that you fulfill your word. You always keep your promises, Father. You always keep them. It's in your name that we bow and we humbly pray to you. In the name of your Son, Jesus, who is Lord, through the Holy Spirit which surrounds us today. It's in his name we pray. Amen? Amen. That make any sense? You get the ascension? Pretty cool, huh? Like the Amish, let's take off tomorrow. We'll call it Ascension Monday. We'll take the day off.